Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
There's a truth that burns. It sits inside you and it burns. And nothing can put it out except finding the identity of who you are in Christ. Finding out how God truly sees you. Because that breaks the yoke of bondage. The accusation of the enemy has nowhere to go when you know you stand complete in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When you know that there's not one thing you need to do. There's not one ladder or pathway that you have to climb, steps of holiness or steps to achieve what is acceptable in Christianity. Paul was received into heaven with great joy, I believe. And so was the thief on the cross. God doesn't delineate good or bad Christians. If you're part of the family, you're part of the family. And his love for us is so extreme, his commitment to us so total, that when we start to get a grasp of how much he values us, it changes the way we see ourselves and it changes the way we see each other. We don't get jealous. We don't get envious. We don't become vain or full of pride. Because everyone here, every person here has a deposit of the Holy Spirit, the touch of God, the fingerprint of God on their life. And the only thing the enemy can do is steal that from you. Not the touch, but the assurance that God has called you, God will not change his mind about you, you belong to him. And we need to know that because the journey can be hard sometimes. Anybody found that? Yeah. I don't like that part. I want to go back and listen to the preachers who say that God's going to give me a Cadillac. Fuel guzzlers, that's true. He's going to give me a solar-powered Cadillac. Trouble is it's going to park on me. No. Let's have a look at the notes. We'll just go straight through these because I want to read you something else a little bit later. So we'll just go through this quickly. We went through part one. We took a long time to get through part one. Forgive me. Step two. The glory of the gospel is that God has declared Christians to be rightly related to him regardless of our failings. If you've ever been in a prayer line, and when you've been part of a prayer line to pray for people, or when you've been in the prayer line to get prayer for something, usually there's sweaty palms and quiet words because nobody actually wants to say anything too loudly in case anybody else hears. But God looks at us and goes, you know, take morality out of the picture. Your character, faults, failings, weaknesses have got nothing to do with the way he sees you. Those failings, those weaknesses, those flaws or those areas we're working on are for us. They're so that we can start to accept ourselves. It's got nothing to do with whether God accepts us. We are rightly related to him from the minute we say yes. Jesus, I'll accept what you've done for me. Now, nobody knows the fullness of that when they first say it. Nobody knows the fullness of it. But God still seals that with his promise. The Holy Spirit seals that deal and says, you are mine. And then he continues to work on us to help us to develop that sense of belonging, that centeredness. If we try and do it ourselves, we are either going to get proud and puffed up because we're better than the next bloke, or we're going to get condemned and feel that we have to hide because we're not as good as some others. I was a counsellor for years. I know where the bodies are hidden. There are no good. Not one. We all struggle. But the love of God, as exposed in Christ, takes us past the struggle into the security that we are home. We belong here. This is our place. We are secure and we are safe. We do not have to perform. We are not trained SEALs. We do not have to earn the approval of God. He loved us so much that he gave us that approval. And that's how you change a person's character, by loving them, not by beating them. Anybody who changes out of fear will reverse the minute the fear is taken away. And if you don't believe that, wait until there's a police car sitting behind you, because you'll slow down. Even if you're doing 60, you'll still slow down. And when the police car goes away, you take a big breath. Whew. Then the foot goes back on the accelerator. It's human nature. Do you think God gets upset? Do you think God's sitting there with a little black marker and says, oh, look, you know, Sky, did well this morning. I saw you sing with Pastor Oxley, Sister Sky. That was good. And then he goes, yeah, but you shouldn't have been watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer last Thursday. So there's a cross. We add them all up and we go, oh, no, you're not making it. Okay, let's get this into us. Our greatest temptation and mistake is to try and smuggle our character, our personal worth or our personal efforts into issues, into his work of grace. We fall so easily into the trap of assuming that we remain justified only so long as there are grounds in our character for justification. In other words, we only get saved when we don't need to be. Because that's what it means. If you can do it by yourself, you don't need a saviour. And if you don't need a saviour, then Jesus came and died in vain. We need a saviour because we can't do it by ourselves. It's not rocket science, is it? If you think any differently, what is our mantra? Stop it! Stop thinking that you have to do. You are a human being. You are not a human doing. Be yourself and allow God to love you. And that's a hard thing. To allow God to love us is a hard thing, because we are conditioned by our relationships on earth to think we must earn or maintain that relationship. But God is greater than that. We need to experience the fruit of God's sanctification in our lives. That means that our lives, although we don't need to perform, our lives will change. Things you used to do, or things that cause grief, start to change. Why? Because the way you see yourself starts to change. And it's not a matter of, I won't do that. It's a matter of, that's not for me. I don't want that. And when we get to that stage, we stop fighting and we just allow what God is doing from the inside to change us from the inside to take fruit. I don't have to react when somebody insults me. I choose not to. And those are things which are important for us. This is when we see Jesus as our friend, our ally in the war against sin, the law, and the old self. The gospel is not simply a message that God declares us righteous because the law has been completely fulfilled. It's not just that. It's also the promise that by grace God has condemned sin. Sin is put down for us. We don't have to look at it. If you're examining yourself for sin, stop it. Just stop it. You want a challenge? Examine yourself for righteousness, because that's how God sees you and that's what he calls you to be. He doesn't call you to attain it. He says you already are it. What I need you to do is to start letting that out. You are righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Not my personal heresy. It's written in the Word of God. Our transformed lives are irrefutable proof that Jesus has come to our aid to give us victory over sin. Personally speaking, there were things I used to do before I was a Christian and after I was a Christian, I'm not going to lie, that, you know, probably cause hair to grow on my head again or blushes. And try as hard as I could to not do certain things, I was just so good at them. They came so naturally. And it was my default mechanism. I would naturally fall back into certain ways of behaviour. Because I saw myself the same way. Even though I was saved, I saw myself the same way. Rejected. Not loved. Vulnerable. And so I would fight. I would push away before I could be pushed away. I would reject before I could be rejected. Become a Christian and you're trying not to do that. But it's an inbuilt thing. Until all of a sudden you start to realise, I'm not rejected. I'm not abandoned. I am loved. And then when somebody pushes that button, you don't react. You respond. You may not love me. That's okay. I'm still lovable. You may not like me. That's okay. I'm still likable. I don't need your approval. I would like it, but I don't need it. Because one far greater than you approves of me. And once I know that to be true, your opinion may hurt me, but it doesn't control me. If we know the truth about ourselves, the truth will set us free. We know that salvation only comes from one source. There is no other name by which man may be saved but Jesus. No one comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. Our justification comes from Christ. Our righteousness comes from Christ. And so does our sanctification, our ongoing walk as Christians. Sometimes it's a matter of the way we use words. There is an overcomer's walk, without a doubt. It's recognising who we are. It's knowing that Jesus himself said, it is better for me to go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit will come and walk with you through all of life and give you victory. The overcomer's walk is to recognise that the Holy Spirit is working in you right now. In every person in this room, the Holy Spirit is working in you to call you to the fruition of who you are, who you truly are. Not who you think you are, not who somebody else has said you are, but who God sees you as, because he designed you. James, you may be designed to be an onion. That's who you are. That's okay. Onions are good. What should we say of you? Not a thing. I'll be good. Chris, you're a turnip. That wasn't God. Sorry, I'll take that back. That was not God. What God calls you to be is who you are. How he identifies you is who you are. Sanctification comes from that one source. It's initiated by God, it manifests in Jesus, and it's brought to a practical expression in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Does anybody here struggle with humility? Cam, you've got so much to be humble for. No, that's good. I'm proud of my humility. Do we struggle with our humility? When we see what God has done for us, when we actually understand it, we are humbled because we have to accept it. And to accept it says, I come to you with nothing. I can't bargain or barter anything with you. I can just take what you've got to give me. Now, I know through personal experience it's a lot easier to give something to somebody than it is to receive something from somebody. Anybody else found that? I mean, I like to receive things from people, but it's easier for me to give something than it is for me to receive it. I feel like I have to pay them back if I receive something. I have to say thank you in the right manner. I have to be suitably impressed and suitably full of gratitude. And I don't know how to perform like that. To give something is here, and then you walk away because it's okay, I gave it to you. It's not my problem, it's yours. And you walk off. But when I have to respond, I get very self-conscious. Usually make a joke. When we realise that our sanctification is a gift from God, manifested through Jesus and brought to life in our life through the Holy Spirit, our heart's response is one of gratitude, as it should be. It requires true humility to accept that, yet it's the most liberating experience I've found. When I can stop and go, yeah, it's not about me. It's just not about me. Oh, you know, what if you get up there and say the wrong thing? Well, Lord, shut me up. What's the worst thing that can happen? They'll take you off speaking on a Sunday night. That's the worst thing that can happen? That's not so bad. They'll put you on Sunday mornings. Okay, I'll be good. Step 3. I taught you last week, and I asked you to think about this for yourselves personally, your experience of the Holy Spirit. We don't judge, as Pastor Oxley said this morning, we don't judge theology by our personal experience, but by the word of God through the Bible. With the Holy Spirit, it's a personal experience. And there's no condemnation, there's no guilt, there's no some have got it and some haven't. Everybody has the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You just may not have experienced it yet. If you have, praise God, continue to exercise it. Exercise the tongue that God has given you, or the various tongues God has given you, privately, personally, or publicly if God puts it on your heart. But you don't put the light inside a bushel and hide it. The mark of the Holy Spirit on our lives is something which should and does distinguish us from those that don't know him. The Holy Spirit in our lives prompts us, as Chris just displayed earlier, to go, somebody here has a stomachache or a bad back. And when we pray for that person, do we sit there and go, oh, geez, I hope they get better? Or do we go, Lord, if you've told Chris and he's had the courage to speak out, then there's a purpose and a plan in that. And therefore, we pray for people because God heals them. We don't. I'm not a healer. I don't know anybody that is. I know the Holy Spirit heals. But it's his job to heal, not mine. And if he tells me something to do, my job is just to listen to what he has to say and then do what he says. God's Spirit is at home in you. Anyone who does not see themselves fully clothed and identified in the Spirit of Christ cannot truly be themselves. It got strangely quiet in the room. And nobody moved. Think about it. Anyone who does not see themselves fully clothed and identified in the Spirit of Christ cannot truly be themselves. It's not that you're bad, you just can't truly be yourself. You've missed the image. The mirror word translation is about seeing ourselves in Christ. It's about seeing God manifest in Christ. It's looking into the mirror and seeing who we are. James 1:24 says this, "The man who goes away from what the mirror reveals immediately forgets what manner of man he is." And back in Romans 1:23 it said this, "Losing sight of God made them lose sight of who they really were. In their calculation, the image and likeness of God became reduced to a corrupted and distorted pattern of themselves." And often I find that that's the truth. If I'm looking at myself, God gets very, very small and my problems get very, very big. When I see God the way he's designed us to see, when he shows and says, "Hey, there is nothing beyond me, nothing, not a thing." Pastor Oxley spoke of Jesus telling Peter to put down his net. "I've walked on the spot, apparently, I don't know, the boat wasn't still there, but I've walked on the spot where the net was put down, or where they said this is where Peter would have come in and cast his nets. And it's got like, you know, 2.5 foot of water." You'd be looking at him and going, "I'm not sticking my net down in 2.5 foot of water. I'm not going to catch anything here." Do you think that bothers God? Whilst Peter is arguing, Jesus is whistling the fish. Into the net. Just get in the net. Shut up. Get in the net. Peter pulls them all out, breaks the net. "See, I told you you'd get away. It's okay." But there's this huge miracle. Jesus doesn't break a sweat. Well, then again, if God raises him from the dead after 3 days and God doesn't break a sweat doing that, is there anything that is beyond our God? Is there anything? No. We need to see God, see Jesus as a manifestation of God toward us, and see ourselves reflected in the image of Christ. We are called Christians because we follow Christ. Christ manifests himself in us. We are the light of the world, not because we shine so brightly, but because he shines brightly in us. All we need to do is get out of the way. Anybody a stargazer here? Anyone likes looking at the stars? I don't mean Hollywood, I mean... yep, good. Dave. If we have an eclipse of the moon, or even if we don't have an eclipse of the moon, if we have a quarter moon or a new moon or a half moon, what is happening? When I was a kid, I thought that the moon had sort of shrunk and then it grew back again as the time went on. I wasn't a very bright kid. But all that happens is the sun shines all the time. And I used to think the sun went out. About 7:30 at night, sun went out. Yeah, about 6 o'clock in the morning, somebody went on, lit it again, and off it started. What happens is the earth gets in the way between the light and the reflector. So if you're worried about God getting smaller or not being able to see the light of his love and reality in your life, get out of the way. The light shines. The earth crosses in front of it and it dims the area that the light doesn't hit on the moon. When the earth is not in the way, the moon is full. When the earth gets in the way, the moon looks diminished. And in our lives, our problems, which are those dark parts of our lives, look to take over the moon because we're in the way. Step out of the way. Lord, do what you want. Oh, well, what if he does something bad? That's not my God. Peter promised this on the day of Pentecost. Change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus, so that your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all who are far away, whomever, in fact, our Master God invites. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our counsellor. These are the words that Jesus used. Comforter, counsellor, our advocate, our teacher, our empowerer, our guide, our intercessor on earth, our seal of redemption, and our closest companion. There is a friend that is closer than a brother, and that's the Holy Spirit. We say, come, Holy Spirit, when he is already here. He is already here. If this is only a concept to us, we need to change that into an empirical fact. We have to have an experiential encounter with him. And we talked about that last Sunday, and that was one of the things I wanted to do, was just to pray again tonight. For anyone who hasn't had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, that seals a deal for you. That's all it is, just to seal that deal. It's not to make you a better Christian. It's just so that you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is interested in you and wants to change your life. I want to make this clear. I believe that everyone that has responded to the revealed truth of Christ, everyone who's accepted Jesus, has the Holy Spirit within them. Why? Because the Trinity dwells in unity. If you accept Jesus, you've accepted the Holy Spirit and you've accepted God. So let's find the truth of that, the reality of it. It doesn't matter whether our background is Catholic, I was Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Uniting Church, Charismatic or Pentecostal. There are many of us who have had the experience of his presence but no longer enjoy the reality of it. And if that's you, that's not the end of it. It's not the end, it's the beginning. We can start again. We can start again. If Christianity has disappointed you, if your life or your walk in Christ has caused you to look inwards and not find joy, not find peace, not find love, then let's start again. You don't need to get saved again. We need to stir up the gift that lies within us, and we need to again come forward and say, Lord, have your way. We get so confused trying to work out our salvation when what we really need to do is to accept it, embrace it, and allow God to do what he wants with us. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to read the other stuff. Have you got the notes from Hudson Taylor? Testimony of Hudson Taylor? Did they were handed out? I'm not sure. Good. That was simple. Huh? Take away and read it. I'd just like to give anyone an opportunity, if they want prayer tonight, just to come forward. No big deal, not emotional. Just come forward and let's, if you've got to go, go. If not, then let's stay and pray for the people who come forward, because the Holy Spirit wants to touch us and change our lives. God wants to make himself real, not theological, not theoretical, but real, so that we don't talk about the stuff going on around us. We talk about what he's doing and what he's done, so that our life starts to get a new focus. It actually gets the right focus, because he's the axle upon which the wheels move. So I'm just going to pray now, and if anyone wants prayer afterwards, if you need that, or if the Holy Spirit's prompting you, if you feel in your heart you want some of that, Chris and I are happy to pray for you. Okay. Lord, I thank you for this night, and I thank you too for your word. I thank you that you want more for us than we even know is available. I thank you that each person here is special, each person here is unique, and each person here has a specific gifting that you put in them, your deposit. Father, that we grow together as a body, that each part of the body fits together, that we need each other. And Lord, I pray for your manifestation in people's lives tonight and in the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen.